out the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K24. It's myself, Moomoo, alongside me as always, your name, no gimmicks, Mr. BJ Armstrong. How you doing, BJ?
It's a beautiful night. Beautiful night. We got a little basketball. We got a little Pelicans.
Pelicans through. The NBA plans have concluded.
We have the Heat once again. I don't know
how they did it.
You know what, Mo? Every year in the Eastern Conference, there's just seven spots. One of the spots are going to be the Heat. I don't care what the odds are. The Heat, and then let's figure out the other seven.
I also know, like, the Bulls. Do you really want to delay your summer holiday starting by 2 weeks just so you can go get swept by the Celtics? That was an awful game. The other game wasn't that much more competitive. Shout out to the Pelicans. They got through. But what it does mean is the bracket is set for the 2024 NBA playoffs. So real quick today, we're going to go through all the first round matchups and we're going to give our predictions. Okay, and BJ, today you're rocking a Knicks jacket.
Yeah, I guess.
Because your Pistons didn't make the playoffs. Is that who you're rooting for? Is that who you want to see win it? If you had to pick a team to support, who would you support in the playoffs
this
year?
Just went with the outfit today. But I'm all about the mix. I'm all about the Knicks. Orange and blue skies. Is that what they say? Orange and blue skies.
Yeah, that's what they say. Well, let's start in the East then. The number one seed Celtics finished regular season 64-18, going up against the 8 seed Miami Heat, who just won their playing game against the Chicago Bulls. Who have you got in that series? And in how many games? And what's the one key factor you're looking at for that series?
Well, let's look at this perspective. The Heat won a game tonight that most people gave them no chance.
I guess, yeah. With no Jimmy Butler.
I mean, how many teams can win a must game minus their best player? I mean, that's
New Orleans just did as well.
I'm going to say this about New Orleans. The last time they got in the playoffs, there was no Zion. I'm just calling what I see.
So they've done it twice then. They've won a must-win game previously without Zion too.
The media says he is the best player. The media says, and I'm not going to argue, is he a sensational talent? But the best player on that team is Brandon Ingram.
It's Zion Williamson.
Okay, that's fine.
That's a whole other conversation.
This is the part of the game that needs to be shored up with everyone here, because we have these takes. Do I believe that Zion is a phenomenal talent? But he has yet to have a season where he's clearly been consistent enough and played enough games to warrant that title on
this team.
Except
for this season where he played 70 games.
Okay, that's fine. But he has yet to have and put together a season where he has done that. That's just
think this season?
He didn't finish it.
So he missed one game.
Okay.
If he doesn't play the last game, they're not even playing tonight. He dropped 40 points in the last game a couple nights ago. He led the team in scoring this year.
Okay, I'm not arguing any of that. I'm not arguing that the man, like, he didn't have what 70 games. He played 70 games this year.
Played more games than Brandon Ingram. He scored more points than Brandon Ingram. Rebounds than Brandon Ingram.
I'm looking at the body of work. I'll say it again.
Hasn't had a season where he was better, but this season he was better.
He hasn't had a season where he's put together a season and he just said, okay, I'm carrying this team into the playoffs. I thought he put together a nice season, but Brandon Ingram contributed. He had some up and down things. There were some games where whatever. It is what it is. Like, they were fourth at one point, five, and then suddenly they're in the play-in. I'm not arguing. I am a Zion fan. However, what I'm looking for Zion to do is to consistently, in a span where he's saying, okay, I'm going to play 70-plus games, take this team to the playoffs, put this team on my back, and establish himself as a perennial, because he should be a perennial.
But Brandon Ingram's not done that either.
Brandon Ingram, in my opinion, has played in more games, big games, in the NBA than
which ones?
Zion has. Okay. He went to like, I think, did they go to like game seven against the Phoenix Suns?
Yeah.
There's nothing else for me to talk about.
Okay, so he had one series.
I think Zion can do this. He hasn't done it yet. I can't say something about a player who hasn't done it. Like, we're saying gonna, coulda, woulda, shoulda. I think he can do it. If you want to say what I think he can do, yes, I think he has the talent to do it. But I can't say it until he does it.
Okay.
You can't say that.
So the criteria has now changed from he hasn't had a season where he's been better to now he hasn't done it in the playoffs.
The criteria is always the same.
Criteria just changed.
The criteria is very simple. Do it. And when you do it and we see it, we can say, when Zion is healthy, Zion does X.
Yes, Zion, in a must-win game, just dropped 40 points. Has Brandon Ingram ever dropped 40 points in a playoff game?
I don't know. Look it up, Mo. Let's look it up and let's find out. Why are we debating? Brandon Ingram has done it. He's done it. Let's look it up.
Oh, he scored 37 in game two against the Suns.
And he did his in the playoffs, and Zion did his in the play-in. So technically, Zion hasn't done it in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Technically.
That's a fair point.
It's not a point. We are here to just lay the facts out and then say it is what it is. We're not here to like, I'm not here to debate. I'm not debating. I'm not like these guys trying to be right. No.
Okay.
We want these players to reach their potential. I'm rooting for Zion. Why? Because I think he is a magnificent talent. However, until he can consistently keep himself available, availability is the best ability, we can't say he's done it.
Okay, so what happens to Brandon Ingram against the Lakers? He didn't even get in the game down the stretch.
Okay. Hey, that's the coach. Coach had
if he was the best player, he would be on the court. The best ability is availability. And he was available, they didn't even play him. How are you the best player on your team and they got you on the bench in the fourth?
I don't know what was going on. Well, I do know he had an injury. I do know he played. And I do know he wasn't in the game for whatever reason. I don't know.
The best ability is availability.
Only him and Coach Green knows why.
Well, I mean, now, from the outside, he was having a bad game.
That's why we're on the outside.
With your logic, he was injured. But either of those reasons means he wasn't on the court in the fourth quarter. So there's two reasons. One could be bad performance. Therefore, he wasn't available. And if the best ability is availability, he doesn't fit the criteria.
Okay, that's fine. Well, we can all have an opinion. I'm not arguing the opinion. You have an opinion. However, I'm stating the facts. Do it. I want him to have 50. I want Zion to have 70. Do it. And then there's no argument. I haven't seen it yet. Until someone does it, you know my theme.
So if you're building a team right now and you're going to build around Brandon Ingram, or you're going to build around Zion, who are you building around?
That's a fascinating question. And the reason it's fascinating is because you're talking about one who has an enormous amount of potential. But the one thing that we have to address is his availability. That's what we have to address. And right now, if you are an executive, you have to say which player has played the most games. Whoever's played the most games, that's the player I'm taking. And it's not a knock against any player. You have to be healthy in order to play and perform. If you're just saying potential, it's an obvious question. It's an obvious answer, I should say. But if you're saying,
okay, based on this season and this season alone,
that's not how the NBA works.
Let's base it on what we've seen over the past 8 months.
I am about what you're going to do in a career. I'm building a team. I don't play that game. That's a game like for the amateur. Well, what about this one season? Well, this guy played 70 games and this guy, I don't know, how many games did he play?
64.
You're saying, okay, he played 64. Okay, great. I have to, if I'm building a team, here's a fact. I have to take into consideration the medical component to this game.
Okay.
If you're telling me Zion is going to be there 82 and he's going to be there 82, give me Zion. The fact remains he hasn't been available to do 82 for various reasons. So if whoever's the player that's available, that's the player I have to go with.
Okay. Okay. Going on your logic.
No, that's not my logic. No. This is what it is. This is not my logic.
No. Going on what you've just said is your criteria is being available. The first four seasons of Zion's career, he's played more games than Embiid played in the first four seasons of his career. But if you were in charge of Philly, you would have said, let's build around Ben Simmons because he's been more available. Because in Embiid's first 4 years, he's played way less games than what Zion Williamson has played in his first 4 years.
But Mo, we can't compare. You're comparing. Now, if you want to ask me, who would I build a team around? That's a different question. See, you can't apply. Everything doesn't apply to everyone else.
Going purely on games played is not a logical way to do this. Otherwise, Philly would have been building around Ben Simmons instead of Joel Embiid.
This is my problem with sports today. We want to have a logic and apply it to every single thing. No, that's not how this works.
It's not logic. It's a fact.
Okay, that's your fact.
It's not my fact. It's an objective fact of the world. That in Embiid's first four seasons, he played zero games, 31 games, 63 games. That's a fact, not my fact. I don't have ownership of that. That is a fact.
But here was your question. Applying my logic, this is what you said. Let's go back to the tape.
Your logic.
Applying your logic was
the most availability.
Applying your knowledge, Ben Simmons should be the guy you should build your team around. I didn't argue about who's available, who's not.
That was your whole thing. You said you have to look at the medical criteria and who's been available. That is, we can play the tape back. That's what you said.
Okay. That's what I said. When we said the specific players, Zion
and Brandon Ingram.
Okay. Now let's talk about Ben Simmons. Let's go there. Let's not just apply.
We have got to do predictions.
We do have
to
do. We
spent 20 minutes talking about this. It's 6:30 in the morning. Can we please do the playoff predictions?
But this is my problem. See, because we have to hold ourselves accountable to what we say and how we say it. If we're going to say Ben Simmons, and then we're going to say Joel Embiid, let's talk about it. Let's not just throw it out there and say, well, this is what you said. And I'm right.
Okay, let's talk about it. Okay, let's. What do you want to say?
What do you want to say about it? Because you don't
want to. I've said what I want to say.
Okay, what do you want to say? Remind
in
me.
Zion's first 4 years, okay, he's played more games than Embiid played in his first 4 years. So when you're comparing Zion to his teammate, who's also been an all-star, who's played more games than Zion has, you should also, if that's your criteria, have compared Embiid to his teammate, who was also an all-star, who's played way more games than him in the first 4 years. But that's just not how it works. If we're not going to go on potential. We're going to go on what you've done, even though you've been injured, so you couldn't actually show us what you can do because you've been out with an injury. But we know you're supremely talented. That's just a bad way to go around things. If your only criteria is on how many games you played.
Okay, Mo, but if I'm building a team, I have to determine the injury. I have to determine the severity of the injury. I have to determine what's the likelihood this injury or other injuries will occur. There's a lot of things that you have to take into account. It's just not simple as, well, he hasn't played, so boom. No, that's not how it works. That's not how this works. You ask me if I'm building a team. If you have roster construction, there's a lot of factors that go into making this decision other than just looking and say, well, he's only played in 35 games, so next. That's not how this works. It's a very complex question. and requires a very sophisticated answer if we're going to play the game of building a team. Now, if we just want to say whatever, like numbers based on who's playing or whatever, all right, that's okay. Some people will do it.
Okay.
But sitting in this seat, and knowing JoJo's injury history, knowing bigs and when they have foot problems, and knowing all of those things, that's a very complex answer. Knowing that he was put in a situation where they were tanking. Trust the process. Was he really hurt?
Yes, because he's injured all the time. You now.
Well, no. Well, doing that process, was he really hurt? Or were they just holding him out?
You know better than me. You can call Sam Hinkie right now. Let's find out.
Okay. But what we do know is when he is available, he's capable of being MVP. And he was. What we do know.
When Zion's available, what he can do.
Okay. He just hasn't done it yet. Until we see him do it, until we see him do what JoJo has done, we can't say that.
Okay, but JoJo's had 10 years to get to the MVP. Zion's only had four years in the league.
I'll say it again. Until, I know you can't hear me right now. Until we see him do it, we can't say that yet.
Okay.
I'm going to say it one more time. Until we see it, we can't say it yet.
But what we can say is who we think is winning the series between the Celtics and the Heat, which is what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then how many games?
This is what, I'm going to say 5 games.
For who?
For your Celtics. And then they will advance and then they will move on.
And what's the key factor that you're looking at in this series?
The key factor is very simple. Their best player, Jimmy Butler, the Miami Heat, is not available. It's very hard to win when you have key contributing players not available. It's very hard. This is almost impossible for them. I thought it was impossible for them to win this game. The Bulls played great at home. The crowd was rocking in the United Center. Kobe White has a 40-point game, more than Zion in the play-in. Kobe White had more points than Zion.
He had 2 more points, one extra bucket.
Yeah, more points. He had more points and a win.
One extra bucket, but Zion left with 3 minutes left with an injury. So if he played those three minutes, he wouldn't have won and picked up at least 2 extra points.
We can only talk about what we see. That's it. We can only talk about now. If you want to do a hypothetical show, let's do a hypothetical
scouting.
If we want to do a hypothetical,
but anyway,
Kobe White and company, they were fantastic in Chicago. They were absolutely sensational. Kobe White played out of his mind. And I thought, wow, they're going to go down to Miami. Miami's minus Tyler Hero. I mean, minus Jimmy Butler. How are they going to do this? And they win, but how many points they win by? I mean, it was like, how? Like, how is this possible? Like, Eric Spoelstra, how? Like, he puts together a game plan, minus his best player, and they just go there and they just play lights out. Unbelievable.
112-91 was the final score.
Yeah, I mean, unbelievable.
Okay, I think the Celtics should win that series. And I think 5 games. I think you're right with that. But what I'm looking for in this series is the adjustments that Joe Mazzulla makes, because we know that Eric Spoelstra is going to have something up his sleeve to be prepared in all situations. And I want to see if they just still rely on the three ball or if they can come up with something a little different.
I just don't think you have enough depth. I don't care what Spoelstra does in this series. I don't care. He doesn't have enough depth. I mean, at some point, look, do I think he'll go and do his gimmicks? And when I say gimmicks, do I think he'll have a game plan to be disruptive? I don't think Eric Spoelstra has gimmicks. That's not the right word for him. Do I think he will have a game plan that will, based on their scouting, that can be disruptive? Absolutely. However, I just don't think they have enough talent to execute it. You have to have talent. it's going to be very, very, very hard for them to win. And I'm only saying one game because Eric Spoelstra is just so good. I think mm-hmm. he somehow, mm-hmm. just like tonight, like I'm talking to people and I thought, there's no way. I didn't find anyone before this game that said they thought Miami was going to win. And they come out and they won it. And that's a compliment to Eric Spoelstra and what they've done down there. Every year they figure out how to get to the playoffs, regardless of what's going on.
The Knicks, you're wearing their hoodie today or their whatever that's called. What's it? Is it Core Zip?
I don't know what it
is. Okay. The Knicks and the Sixers. Who you got? How many games? I'm guessing the key for that series will also be Joel Embiid's availability.
No question about it.
So who is taking this?
No win? Question about it. Wow. I'm at a loss right here. I'm just gonna say the Sixers. Because Joel Embiid has a significant advantage on the post. Joel Embiid, I don't think he will dominate the game defensively because, you know, he has a, you know, he's coming off a knee or a meniscus or something. But I'm going to say the Sixers. I'm just going to say the How Sixers. Many? I'm going to say the Sixers in six.
Oof.
I'm going to say the Sixers and six. I don't think this goes seven. If it goes seven, if this goes seven,
I'm going Knicks.
I think the Knicks. I'm going to Knicks. Yeah. If it goes seven, the Knicks will win. I think the longer the series, it favors the Knicks. Now, I think it's going to be very, very hard for New York because you know that crowd is going to be.
Electric.
Okay. It's going to be unbelievable. But if they lose one of the first two games because of the proximity of the cities.
Okay, Philly team got the train to New York today. They didn't even have to fly.
That's what I'm saying. Because of the I think the pressure of New York, because it's not like you go to New York, Cleveland, you get away from the, you know, the media.
Yeah.
Or you go New York to Orlando or New York to Miami, wherever. You get away out of it for a couple of days. They're going right down the road to Philly. So they're going to just hear it. And if they lose a game, especially one of these first two games, oh, here we go again. Mm-hmm, oh, mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I can already hear Stephen A.
Yeah, they break my heart. You know, all of the stuff that they're going to say. And I think that just wears on you because, look, this is the playoffs and anything is possible and it's not going to be easy, but I think it just wears on the players in New York. So I think New York has to win these first two games. If Philly wins these first two games, I think they win the series in six.
This Knicks team's already lifted a banner in Philly, in their arena. Because this Knicks team is basically that Villanova team. Jalen Brunson, DiVincenzo, Josh Hart. This is the same thing. All right, Bucks Pacers. Their little rivalry from, remember they had that little skirmish about who gets the game ball.
Giannis is out, right? What's Giannis' status?
I think Giannis is missing game one.
Is that the only game he's missing?
Well, 17 hours ago, it says that Giannis could miss 2 to 4 weeks with a calf injury. But it's Giannis, and we've seen his knee basically snap backwards against the Hawks, and he still came back to play in that series. So I'm not counting anything out. But if Giannis doesn't play for three of the games,
what's the report? What's the report saying right now?
Giannis injury update. Let me pull it up here. Is Giannis playing in game one? Doc Rivers says he looked good. Well, that's not that. Giannis's calf injury could last deep into Pacers series, 2 to 4 weeks potentially. And then if you want the full report, you have to watch a stupid sponsored video from Shams Charania on his stadium show sponsored by FanDuel and AT&T. It's a calf injury though.
Okay, here's what I think.
He could play, but they want to rest him because it could tweak it or lead to an even worse injury. Yeah, that's here's what I think.
I'm going with the Pacers in this series. And the reason I'm going with the Pacers is because they play too fast for this team. And I think Haliburton has a significant advantage at the lead guard position as far as his ability to play at a pace, right? I think Dame is going to have big nights. I think Dame will score points. I think Dame will be Dame. However, I think the determining factor for this series is who controls the pace of the game. And I think Haliburton...
Even in the playoffs where the game slows down, you think the Pacers will still be able to get the tempo going?
I do. And here's why. Here's why. Because long shots equal long rebounds.
Mm.
Dame isn't an attacking guard that's going to attack in the paint. Okay? And I think those long shots, I mean, they shoot a significant amount of threes, the Milwaukee Bucks.
How many games have you got the Pacers winning this in?
I think they're going to do it in six.
You know what?
I think
I'm going to rock with you on this one.
Yeah, I think the Pacers. I think they're going to. I think they know that they have an advantage with their athleticism. I think they'll be faster to the ball, and I think they have the better players who will play their style and their brand of basketball. Now that's what it looks like to me on paper. Now, Giannis, based on what you said, won't be 100%. And if that is the case, I mean, look, 85% is still
better than every player on the court.
Yeah, exactly. But if he misses one or more games, that's a great opportunity for this team. And this team is very capable. They're very capable. I think they've beat the Bucks throughout the regular season. Sometimes you'll just find a team. It kind of has your number. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say the Pacers here. I just think the Pacers will.
It's 4-1. The Pacers won four of their five matchups against the Bucks.
That's the one thing that I saw. A glaring weakness for the Milwaukee Bucks was any team that played fast. They're not a very athletic team. So I'm going to go Pacers here.
Well, the first three series we've talked about have all hinged on injuries. Jimmy Butler, Giannis, obviously Julius Randle's not there from the Knicks, but we talked about Embiid. But the two teams that are healthy in the first round, the Cavaliers and the Magic, the 4-5 matchup. Who have you got for that? Because I just want to hear that Orlando Magic theme song, because I think they're going to win the series.
Yeah, I you know what? What? First of all, I want to give a shout out to the Orlando Magic and what they accomplished this year. I mean, that's an amazing achievement. I mean,
their fifth seed, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, for them to be in the playoffs, Mo, it's just that's an amazing achievement. So in my book, they've already won. They've already won. Okay. Anything they do, they win a game. This is just bonus for them. This is just like, let's see what the playoffs is all about. I'm going to say the Cavaliers. And I think this will go six.
Cavs in six. I think this, why have you got Cavs the Cavs?
Well, they have more experience. I think last year is still sitting in the back of their minds of what happened last year in the Knicks, and they had home court. I think this team is ready. You would think that Donovan Mitchell will be the best player on the court during this series. You would hope that Garland and Mobley and these guys, and now that they're, you know, this is like all year they've had guys out for various reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this team now, if they're going to have a good showing, I think it's time now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say them in six. They're playing an inexperienced team. This is a young team, but they're young and they don't know. So there's nothing for them to be nervous about. Just come out and play.
I'm going Magic in six.
Oh, wow. I mean, but you know what?
And my key point of emphasis for the series is Franz Wagner. Because you're assuming Mobley's going to guard Banchero. Jarrett Allen's going to guard Wendell Carter Jr. Franz, it's time to step up. Cook that boy, Max Strus. I also think that I really like the aggressive defense of the Orlando Magic backcourt, which could do obviously they're not going to be able to stop Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland, but it could slow them down. And obviously the Cavs, the construction of their team, I know Mobley started to shoot a little bit more recently, but two bigs that you're not really relying on as premier shooters, you've got to kind of stagger their minutes in weird ways. And then who's going to be on the court to close the games, and how's that going to affect their team dynamic as the series progresses if one of their bigs isn't in the game to close a bunch of the games? I don't know how that's all going to figure out. And I just think that the Magic's lack of experience and just that ruthless confidence could actually help them in this, because all the pressure in the world is on the Cavaliers. Because what happened last year, they're the higher seed, the Magic are the underdogs by far, and I like that. And I want to hear Orlando Magic, ooh. That's what I want to hear. That's what I want to hear.
You're a singer now, huh?
Yeah, I might write a record about Drake, see how he likes it. But let's go over to the West. The number one seed Thunder are playing the winner of the play-in game tonight, the New Orleans Pelicans. Who'd you like in that series, and in how many games?
I'm going to say the Thunder in six. I think the Thunder in six. This is a good matchup for them. You know, clearly this is a good matchup for them because, you know, Zion is not going to be there. This puts a lot of pressure on Brandon Ingram. I don't really know his health. You know, he had a couple falls tonight, got up a little slow. Like, I don't know was it an ankle? Was that what was wrong with him?
Yeah.
But give New Orleans credit. You know, I thought they showed a lot of grit tonight. The big fella, Valanciunas, I thought he played with huge force.
All-time play-in scoring leader. He's the king of the NBA play-in.
Yes. He played with force.
I'd like to see the Pelicans use their size in this series, because the Thunder struggle with rebounding. They don't have the most size, even though they've got Chet playing at the five. And what intrigues me is potentially, you know, JV using his big presence, especially down low, being really physical. But then also Larry Nance being a big that can space the floor. If Zion's not there, potentially playing those two bigs at the same time and seeing how that changes the game dynamic. That's something that intrigues me, but I've got the Thunder winning in five or six games.
Yeah, I think the Thunder's versatility, but this, again, I've said it, but I'm going to stick to what I said. I don't know what's going on down there in New Orleans. I love their talent, though.
Yeah, if the Warriors had won the play-in, I would have maybe thought about there might be a 1-8 upset here, but no, I don't see a way that the Pelicans beat the Thunder, especially without Zion.
I don't think there's a way, but I'm not like 100% convinced that if New Orleans suddenly now they could figure this out. Like, they're too talented. They're a very talented group. Like, it doesn't make sense to me why they're not better than what their record indicates. Like, this is a really good team, but something must be going on there. And whatever that is, tonight they figured it out. Tonight they were actually pretty good.
I think. Always play well against Sacramento, though. That's a favorable matchup. The Thunder won the regular season series 2-1. They won the last two matchups against New Orleans.
So I wouldn't be surprised, you know, but I'm still going to stick with OKC. I think Valanciunas is going to be a problem for them. I don't think they're going to be able to play their traditional small ball versus Valanciunas. He's just too big.
Yeah, he might get in foul trouble early. There's just a lot of variables here, though. The 2-7 matchup, the Nuggets and the Lakers. The Nuggets have beaten them 8 straight times, including postseason appearances. What's your prediction for this, and in how many games?
I think the Nuggets in six.
Same.
I think the Nuggets in six. I don't see any answers for the big fella Jokic. Jamal Murray, I don't see any answers there. You know, I just think Jokic is just too good. I mean, Jokic, it's just no, I don't care what you do.
And like, I like having Aaron Gordon on defense as well to match up with LeBron.
I like their matchups with them. I like the matchups on the sideline with them. You know, I think the Lakers, you know, listen, anytime you have AD and these guys, you got a chance.
Anytime but you got LeBron, Jokic, you got a chance.
Well, again, based on what I see, I don't think LeBron has a significant advantage in this series athletically. Okay. It's very rarely can I say that. Now, clearly LeBron and what he's done speaks for itself. But this is one of the few times that I can say in a series, athletically, he doesn't have an advantage here.
Over Aaron Gordon.
Over Aaron Gordon. Okay. Now, something could change, or maybe LeBron or something could happen. Something, anything is possible. But if those two players are playing against one another, he's not like significantly, this isn't like a LeBron where he's just a clear advantage. Aaron Gordon is a very, very capable player, first of all. But athletically, he's as good as the upper echelon in the league, would we say? As far as his athletic, yes.
He's one of the best.
So I think this is going to be a tough matchup for them. And then you add that, you know, add that to the, okay, they don't, they're, think about this, their two best players, it's not a significant advantage. Certainly there's no advantage at the five at all.
Nope.
With Jokic.
And I think the Denver has the better coach by a clear mile. Mike Malone is way better than Darvin Ham in a playoff series, 100%.
Well, you know, listen, I think as far as experience, yes. But I think Darvin Ham, those guys have played hard all year for Darvin Ham. And I know they're, you know, listen, this is Lakers, and Lakers are winning the championship. And if they don't win the championship, they'll do whatever. But what are we really expecting with this group? I said it at the beginning of the year. Give me what you got. And they did that. And what they got was the seventh seed
through the play-in.
So you know what? I think this season has been a success. But by Lakers standards, the Lakers, you know, you I live out here, so everyone's saying, oh, the Lakers are going to win. Okay, all right. That's what you're supposed to say. But this is Jokic. Like, this is Jamal Murray. Jamal Murray, in my opinion, is the best player who hasn't been named an All-Star yet.
And he gets better in the playoffs than he is in the regular season.
So Jamal Murray, I think they have advantage out there. And D'Lo has been playing terrific. But I think Jamal Murray is Jamal Murray.
Mm-hmm.
Jokic has an advantage. Aaron Gordon, I think, is capable, right? Aaron Gordon is capable of having 20 and 12 in a series. And LeBron could have
in the game, or averaging, yeah, for the series.
Yeah, he could do it. He could average it because someone's going to have to double Jokic, okay? And you can't double him with the guard.
Yeah, well, they got Rui in the mix now, so.
Man, Rui? Rui's too small. That's what I'm saying. Like, this is a, Rui is a nice player. You're going to have to double him. And someone's going to be open, right? And Aaron Gordon is the beneficiary of that somebody.
Yep.
So he's very capable. And I just think it's a lot to overcome if you're the Lakers. Now, if the Lakers just shoot the three ball and the crowd gets to rocking and what's it called? SoFi? Is that what it's called now or something? Is
Staples. Oh, Crypto.
Crypto, yeah. Is that what it's called? Crypto? Why did I say SoFi? No, that was on the court tonight. SoFi.
They sponsored the play-in. But they don't sponsor us, so forget about them.
Yeah, so the Crypto, if they get there and they get hot, anything's possible. I think they win a game or two.
I think they can win a couple games, but I don't see them winning a series. But now, the series that is the hardest to call, in my opinion, 4 versus 5. We've spoken about this before. Clippers versus Mavericks. Final prediction for this one.
Look, I'm just going to say this. I'm going to the game on Sunday.
Okay.
You know what? You know when I.
It's a special occasion when BJ's in the building.
Something piques my interest, right? And I, first of all, I'm going into the game to learn, because there are four players that are very capable as far as talent of carrying a series. Kawhi, been there, done that. Okay. I love just saying this at this time of year. Then we have playoff P. But you're going to go, oh, you see, you're going to look away. See, there you go. That's what I love saying that this time of the year. We have Kyrie Irving, been there, done that. And then we know Luka.
The Don.
Okay. So if you're asking me, I think Luka and the Dallas Mavericks win the series. I'm thinking. And now, the talent. I'm giving to the Dallas Mavericks. I'm giving to the Clippers.
Because they got Harden and Russell Westbrook that we've not even mentioned. But
yes,
the way the Mavericks have been playing since about a week after the All-Star break, sensational, especially adding Gafford. He's been huge. PJ Washington, very solid defender at this point. Offense, if his three ball starts falling, they in real trouble. And then if Derrick Jones Jr. or Tim Hardaway Jr. gets hot from three, the Mavs are going to be unstoppable. I think it could be close. I think we could even see a game seven in this one. But Luka is built for those moments. And also, yeah, Kawhi's health is the biggest question mark, because he might not even play game one. And if Kawhi's not healthy, the Clippers ain't winning.
I think Luka, longer the series goes, I think it favors Luka. I don't know if it favors Dallas, but it favors Luka. I think Luka will be the best player in this series. And that's hard for me to say, because Kawhi Leonard, listen, when Kawhi Leonard plays, I mean, Kawhi Leonard, was it last year or the year before? It was last year too. Before his injury.
Against the Suns.
He was the best player in the playoffs, I thought.
Yeah. He's had an injection. He's had an injection on his knee to help alleviate inflammation to try and play game one. Right. But that still concerns me with Kawhi Leonard and everything we've seen from him in recent years.
Yeah, so I'm going with Dallas, and I'm going with Luka. I'm going with Luka and Kyrie. I don't see, listen, I will say this. The matchup I'm most intrigued with is Kyrie and Paul George.
Mm.
Because whoever wins that matchup, to me, that tilts the scale to that team. And I think Kyrie will be more consistent than Paul George. And I'm going to go with the Dallas Mavericks in this series, and I think it'll be a fun game. So I'm going down to the game. I'll be there, Mo. And I'm going to get there early too. I want to see everything. I think it's going to be a great series. I mean, there's a lot of great players. You got Westbrook, you got Harden, you got Paul George, you got Kawhi Leonard, you got Luka, you got Kyrie,
Maxi Kleber.
Yes, you got Maxi. Hey, you got Maxi. You got a lot of good players, okay? I'm really excited to see this, and I think this is going to be the first opening round series in this year's playoffs. So
the first.
I think this is going to be the best.
The best, yeah.
First rounds.
Yeah. I got you. It's late. It's 7 a.m. Yeah. So let's do the last one. Timberwolves, Mavericks, 3-6 seeds. This is a tough one to call. This is another tough one.
You mean Timberwolves, Suns?
Yeah. You said Timberwolves, Mavericks. Yeah, you can tell it's 7 a.m. and I haven't slept all night. Timberwolves, Suns, sorry.
I'm going to say the Suns. And don't ask me why. I'm just going to say the Suns.
The Suns have not lost against the Timberwolves all season long. And I'm going to say Timberwolves in 7. Okay. Anthony Edwards, it's time for you to rise. Let's go, Ant-Man. I'm rocking with the Wolves. Best defense in the league.
I'm going to say the Suns.
I can't have the best defense in the league losing in the first round.
Yeah, I'm going to say the Suns. But you know, it's hard for me to say that because you know how I feel about Ant-Man. But I'm going to tell you why. I'm really concerned about the matchup of Kevin Durant
and Karl-Anthony Towns. Yep.
I can't ignore that. Like, I can't ignore that matchup. I just think, I don't know how it's going to play out. But if you're telling me KD is going to get 30 minutes out of a 48-minute game with that matchup, KD's going to win that matchup.
Okay. But who's winning the matchup guarding Anthony Edwards?
Well, I think it cancels itself out.
There you go.
All right.
That's why I said 7.
Yeah. I think Devin Booker is going to have some 30-point games. And I think Anthony Edwards will have some 30-point games.
Mm.
But I think the deciding factor will be that other matchup.
Mm-hmm.
I think KD wins that matchup. I love the big fella, Naz Reid. You know I love the big fella. But this is KD.
I hear it.
Karl-Anthony Towns, I don't think he has the speed to guard Kevin Durant for 7 games.
Oh, no chance. No chance.
So I think they have this team is probably a bad matchup for them.
Mm-hmm. They've been unable to beat them.
Yeah, I think this is just a bad matchup for them. And that's why I'm just picking the matchup. And I think KD is the deciding factor here.
Now, the bracket has been set, BJ. I've been rocking with the Denver Nuggets all season long to win the whole thing, and I'm not going to change. Last chance. Who's winning the 2024 NBA championship?
Well, until someone beats the champ, I'm not going to go against the champ.
You picking Denver?
The champs. I have to. I have to pick them. But I really think, if you're just asking me right now, I think the Boston Celtics have a better than average chance. I think they have a real good chance to win this thing this year. I think they have the experience. I think they have a defensive guard that can match up. I'm not saying he can stop, you know, those guys. I think they have a big guy in Al Horford who could, you know, just take something away from Jokic. You know, just don't let him go for 50. You know, he goes for 38 and 20. That's fine. Okay. Just don't let him go for 50 and 25. Mm-hmm. All right. And I think they have an X factor that I'm intrigued with. And as I've said, when they acquired him, and I'm going to hold to that.
Okay.
I don't know how Porzingis is going to do in the playoffs. That's one thing I don't know. He hasn't proven it, Mo. He's had a phenomenal regular season. He's the unicorn, and he had a great year, and he affected winning the season. I saw him get switched, and he dived to the post. I saw him doing things, Mo, I haven't seen him do in his career. And bravo for him. Now, Mo, I want to see him doing it in the playoffs so that I can say the big fella did it. And until he does that, I'm going to be watching with great interest. So the bright light is going to be shining on him. And when the Celtics win, we should give him his flowers. But if they don't win, I think it's going to come down to that, because that's the one area, Mo, where we don't know.
Okay. Well, the playoffs begin. Area.
Yes.
We've been waiting all year.
And here we are. We're here.
Let's go. I'm so excited. Make sure you subscribe to the show. We're going to be here after every single matchup, breaking it down for you. BJ, you're at the game on Sunday. I hope you're back in time to record the show. But I'll be back. We'll be back tomorrow after day one of the playoffs has concluded. The only place you need to be for the 2024 NBA playoffs is the Hoop Genius Podcast. Subscribe on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts from. And most importantly, until next time, get buckets.